بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: عرضت علي الأمم فرأيت النبي ومعه رهيط، والنبي ومعه الرجل والرجلان، والنبي وليس معه أحد، إذ رفع علي سواد عظيم، فظننت أنهم أمتي، فقيل لي: هذا موسى وقومه، إلى آخر الحديث. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected brothers, continuing with the hadith which we began the last time, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was the narrator. Most of the hadith was translated. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about being shown, as was mentioned, either in Isra, in Miraj, or in a dream. And the dreams of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are wahi. He was shown Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, some Anbiya or some Nabis had a few people with them, some with no one. And there was one Nabi who had a huge crowd with him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "I thought that that was my ummah. It was told to me that that is the ummah of Musa alayhi salam." And thereafter, on one horizon, he was shown a huge mass of humanity and told to look in another horizon, there also a huge mass of humanity. And it was said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is your ummah. And with them are 70,000 people who will enter into Jannah without any hisab, without any reckoning, no any chastisement or punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa informed Sahaba about this and then went into his house. Sahaba began a discussion as to who are these people who are so blessed and honored that they will enter into Jannah without any reckoning and without any punishment. So some of them said that perhaps it was the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some said perhaps it was those who were born in Islam and did not make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And various other things were mentioned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his house and he asked the Sahaba that, "What were you discussing?" So they informed him that, "Ya Rasulullah, we were discussing that what were the qualities of these people who will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will enter into Jannah without any punishment and without any reckoning." And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned basically four things, that in the lives of these people, that these four things will not be found. One is, as we went into detail previously, but just to reiterate the crux of the meaning of these things. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said first that there are people that will not make ruqya. That is, ruqya, one is a permissible application of ruqya. That is, where we read the verses of the Quran, we read the du'as that were taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we blow upon a particular part of the body, or we blow upon someone else who is afflicted by some illness with yaqeen, with conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure such a person. One is, as I mentioned, the permissible application. This obviously is not prohibited. But we find, as it has become vogue or practice nowadays, that there are people that a lot of Muslims are going to them, some in some cases Hindus, some cases from other religions, where words of shirk are used, words that are totally prohibited in Shariat are used, and in some instances, through assistance from shayateen, people feel that they have gotten cure, or that the malady that they were involved in has been removed. As a result of which, the iman of such people comes into danger. So we find that this is something that is totally prohibited in Shariat. That is, to take assistance of people that are not on deen, first of all, and secondly, to make ruqya, to recite things which are not found in Quran and Hadith. And we find that unfortunately, these type of things have become very, very common nowadays. When it comes to this aspect of sihr or jadu, that in itself is a very, very lengthy discussion. It's not my intention now to go into that. But we find that a lot of times we use this as an excuse. Sometimes husband is arguing with wife. The underlying cause is actually akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not there. Aspects of character, they are weak. But immediately blame jadu, blame some relative, blame somebody else. Something goes wrong with the child, anything goes wrong in the business. Very, very quickly, we tend to run in this direction, that is because of jadu or somebody made sihr. And thereafter, we're going to this molana and that molana and going for this taweez and that taweez. Jadu or something, as I mentioned, we're not going to go into the details, but it is there. Sihr, black magic is there, but it's not something that we blame for everything. And we find it was even practiced on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reason Allah ta'ala allowed it to occur to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ta'aleem, to teach the ummah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a lengthy incident, maybe later on in the kitab, we will come to that. But we find that one very important aspect or message comes out of the trial that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. We find in the riwayat, these words are found, da'a, thumma da'a, thumma da'a. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made du'a, and then he made du'a, and then he made du'a. So we are taught that when it comes to this aspect, if somebody feels somebody made jadu on him, etc., the real solution is what? In turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in making du'a, not in relying on people or individuals. Because you find nowadays, once you get caught up in this, going to one person and then another person, you find years come out like this. And the person, 9 times out of 10, you'll meet somebody, very few people say that they actually got cured. They'll say the problem got exacerbated or it worsened. What is the real solution? The real solution is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua and then make dua and then make dua until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the affliction and the difficulty. But to get caught into the trap of individuals, sometimes you see even adverts in the paper, go to this sangoma or go to this person who will solve your problem. This is something Muslims should stay away from. Likewise, we find in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, people will enter into Jannah from my ummah 70,000 without azab, without hisab. First quality is they don't turn to others. When it comes to ruqya, when it comes to reading and blowing, they do it for themselves with yaqeen, with conviction. That in this Allah, taking the name of Allah, in taking the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will remove my difficulty. Likewise, other things that are prohibited in this hadith is what we taught called taking bad omen. And we find again, these things are in vogue. Friday the 13th, we hear our children talking about things like this. Or the black cat, or the mirror broke. In Islam, there's absolutely no basis whatsoever to things like this. Likewise, month of Rajab, this is prohibited, or Shaban, this is prohibited, or Shawwal, this is prohibited. These type of things are not found in Islam, in deen, and should not even be there in our conversation, shouldn't be there in our lives. So in any case, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that these are people, they will not get involved in impermissible ruqya, nor will they take bad omens, etc. And pertinent to this chapter which we are discussing, Babul Yaqeeni wa Tawakkul, where Imam Nawawi rahimullah mentioned, what is the chapter? To develop yaqeen, conviction on Allah. Tawakkul, trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the main quality of these people, wa'ala rabbihim yatawakkaloon. Trials, tests, tribulations are part of life. Allah says, wala nabluwannakum, we are going to test you. Some with poverty, some with sickness, some with hardship, whatever it is. In all these things, what is the crux? What is the essence? Have tawakkul on Allah. Have trust in upon Allah. Place your trust upon Allah. Have this conviction, Allah will not test me with that which is within beyond my ability. And in turning to Allah Ta'ala, half my problem is solved. The fact that I turn to Allah, I knock the door of Allah. If it's not removed in this world, in akhirat it will become a zakhira, a reward for me. But the main thing is to turn to Allah, bring one's life onto deen. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. So we find that one sahabi stood up. His name was Ukasha bin Mihsan, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is a great, illustrious sahabi. In fact, it is mentioned about him that in Badr, when he fought, his sword broke. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, Ya Rasulullah, my sword broke. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a piece of wood, فَهَزَّهُ. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shook the wood. And mu'ajiza, miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَصَارَ فِي يَدِهِ سَيْفًا صَارِمًا. All of a sudden, this piece of wood turned into a shining metal sword in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed this in the hand of Ukasha and said, قَاتِلْ بِهَذَا يَا Ukasha. That, oh Ukasha, take this sword of mine, that is the sword of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and fight with it. Ukasha fought in Badr, he took part in Uhud, he took part in all the expeditions. Finally, in the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who became shaheed at the hand of Tuleha. Tuleha was a person who falsely claimed nubuwat. So this was not an ordinary sahabi. This was a sahabi of great position and rank. So what does he say? He says, Ya Rasulullah, make dua to Allah ta'ala, ud'u Allah ta'ala an yaj'alani minhum. That I want to be amongst the 70,000 that will enter into Jannah without any azab, without any hisab. Nabi Islam, he requested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua that he be included amongst them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately said, Anta minhum, that O Kasha, you are amongst the 70,000. In other words, basharat and glad tidings of Jannah in this world, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the sahabi. No sooner this was said, another person stood up. Another person stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for me also. I also want to be amongst the 70,000. So what was happening now? One hand is the jazba and zeal of Sahaba Ikram. Everyone had total conviction on the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and everyone desired to be a Jannati. Ukasha saw the opportunity, he went ahead from everyone, and he asked first. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him. This was proven in his haq, in his favor. Another sahabi stood up. Now what is going to happen? If Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for this sahabi, then another one would have stood up, and then another one would have stood up. So what does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Look at the hikmah, the wisdom. Second person stands up, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be amongst them, make dua for me also. He doesn't say, lasta minhum, you are not amongst them, or I won't make the dua. Because this would have hurt the hearts of Sahaba Ikram. What does he say? He says, sabaqaka biha Ukasha. Ukasha beat you to it. Ukasha beat all of you to it. He was first, so I made the dua for him. So one, the door closed, so that this doesn't start that one after the other. On the other hand, no one's heart was hurt. No one was aggrieved by this, that they are being deprived of it. Not that you are not amongst it, but Ukasha beat you to it. So okay, I made dua for him and that's it. Beyond this, I won't make this dua now. But practice upon my words, practice upon what I am telling you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you amongst them. That is, those who will enter into Jannah without any azab and any hisab. May Allah ta'ala make us amongst them. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah.